Blog Talk Radio.
Poetic words seasoned just right to flavor your taste buds.
The words are the new Viagra that keeps you up, channelizing your soul into submission. Sensual and sexy as her poetry acts and answers questions you are scared to approach. Who is she? She is LSO, an erotic poet.
Welcome, 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 Al, welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to the LSO Treat Show. Happy Women's Month, Monday evening. Yes, it's Women's Month. You know what? Maybe we should have a Men's Month, too. You know, we have to see how we can get that because men don't have a month. We got to, you know, treat everybody equally. Get ready for an amazing 2 hours. We are back at it again. I hope your day started with a smile, but if it didn't, I'm sure it's going to end with a smile this evening from hanging out with me and a special guest. So, I guess you're wondering who is me. Ha-ha. Why, you ask? Me is LSO, the founder and owner of Treat Things LLC, living in the passion of LSO exclamation point. I am an HBCU undergrad and a master's summa cum laude grad, and that is just some of the backbones of my educational hashtag my LSO journey. I am Brooklyn's very own LSO and author of 3 self-published erotic books and 1 inspirational book and so much more to the LSO, to LSO and her brand. Let's not forget, I am the host of the Lawless Radio LSO Treat Show. LSO combines fantasy, fiction, and confessions of someone's story. Would that be yours? Just slightly raise your hand. Come on, y'all. I see you. I see you. It's okay. It's okay. Y'all can put your hand down now. The creative diversity in the writing captures you with the intent of helping you to relate and or reminisce in your fantasy, truth, or a combination of both. It's an escape to pleasures beyond your imagination, introducing you to the outside box experience in total liberty and being your authentic self. Here is where your fantasies become reality without judgment. LSO was told to do big things, and hashtag, I am holding on to that statement. I am comprised of many talents with the masters of all and without any hesitation or regrets. I so enjoy what I do. If I think it, it can be done. Speaking life into self is an affirmation that yes, I can, and yes, I will. LSO never disappoints and promises limitless possibilities. Are you ready for tonight's show? If not, it's time for you to get ready. Tonight's topic is living financially stable, your relationship to credit. Excuse me. Note, these are our personal and or research opinions. So get ready to call in and confess your research. You notice I said research, huh? Remember, the Lawless Radio LSO Treat Show is a safe space and no judgment zone where your confessions and research are welcomed. Transparency at its best. So call in with your questions. Remember, a spanking may be necessary. But don't worry. LSO have the title on with the Heart Collection, so you're good. We have a special guest back this evening for part 2, getting us financially in order. Now, he and I discussed a possible part 2 when we set up the part 1, but just in case, but we just started the show, and he was dropping so many jewels. I was getting text messages, is he coming back? When is he coming back? We need to have him back. So I asked him live on the radio, put him on the spot right then and here, and before I can even finish, the answer was yes. So you know what? He is back. I am honored to introduce to some of you, but I'm introducing to others, especially those who was on last week. He's no stranger to the show. Kevin Lewis, the CEO and principal consultant at Promethean Credit Counseling, which is a full-service credit counseling service focusing on personal and business credit. The company specializes in helping disadvantaged individuals understand both personal and business credit and how to leverage them for financial liberty. Promethean is more than a credit repair agency. The emphasis is on counseling, and our team works diligently to provide our clients customized solutions that address their credit challenges. Kevin received his Bachelor of Science in Marketing from Virginia State University, his Master's of Business Administration in Global Management from the University of Phoenix, and is pursuing Doctorate in Accounting from the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton Business School. He is a certified credit counseling specialist. His passion is to help communities understand and overcome the obstacles that are causing the wealth disparities in the United States. To that end, he works tirelessly to ensure that his clients reach the level of success they work so diligently to achieve. Kevin is not just a friend. He's my HBCU sibling. He's my HBCU alumni sibling. When we met, we hit it off automatically. And, you know, for those who say men and women cannot honestly, sincerely be friends, this relationship right here is one of those relationships that's saying, making that statement false. Kevin Morey, how art thou?
Chalk to the A dot lot. That's how I refer to you. I am amazing and honored to be here once again. Let's give it up for VSU. I love it. I love it.
Yes.
I love it. Let's give it up. Let's give it
up.
I love it. Listen, I'm not going to say it's the best HBCU. I'm just going to say it's better than the rest of the HBCUs. That's what I'm going to say.
That part right there. Because I tell you, the relationships that I came out with from VSU, and when I say relationships, I mean like friendships, siblingships. That right there is real. That is real. And I'm not even going to tell you how many years vested into the relationships. So, I need no new friends. If you're not my friend by now, you missed out. I'm sorry. I'm very honest. If you are not my friend by now, you have officially missed out. If you're not Kevin's friend right now, you have officially missed out. But I'm just saying.
Chuck.
Yes?
Day one. So I am, again, honored, so proud of what you've been able to do, an accomplished author, celebrated author, radio show host, whose show has stood the test of time, has proven to deliver entertainment, education, enlightenment, and empowerment. I am just so in awe. I so revere you, and I am, again, honored. It's a privilege and an honor to always be able to serve your community.
Thank you. So, I so appreciate it. But if I didn't get you back, it was going to be a serious problem because I had one person, I'm not going to call Stacey name out, but I had one person who's texting and was like, I'm calling him now. But I'm like, Stacey, I'm hitting back. We still on the show.
We're working. We're still on the show.
And it's after hours, the business hours. No, you got to respect his personal time. The business hours are, you can call him back tomorrow morning. He'll happily give you whatever it is that you need. That's all I have to say. So, Kevin Maurice, let's go ahead and get right on into this financial business and consulting of it. And I'm going to start back off again with your income taxes, because so many people believe when they get the income tax return that this sum of money is the greatest gift ever, and they want to go out and splurge and spend the money and do whatever with it, but not realizing that this money is a one-shot deal. You're not getting this money again on a weekly basis or every 2 weeks or once a month. Once you get the money at that time, that's it. What is some counseling that you can give people on either investing, spending, or utilizing that one-shot deal of cash that they receive annually?
What I like to impress upon people is it's perfectly fine to treat yourself. So I understand. You've worked hard all year. You've given more hours to your job than they've paid you for. And so you feel like I need to celebrate in some way. I need to buy some clothes, or I need to get a new car, or I need to go on vacation. So I tell people, step one, there's lifestyle. There's emotional lifestyle. Do treat yourself. I would tell you no more than 25% of your tax refund should go to celebrating. The other 75%, but let me stay there for a second, Chuck. Let me stay there for
okay.
a second. Let me before I go any further, let me just lay this disclaimer. I am not a financial advisor. This conversation this evening does not constitute financial advice. Got to lay that disclaimer because I don't want anybody to try to hold us legally liable for something we say they go act upon and it doesn't work quite like they want it to work. But that said,
mm-hmm. okay,
these are just my opinions and suggestions, as you said when we started the show. But my opinion and suggestion is 25%, go blow it. And the reason that you're going to do 25% is because you want to celebrate, you want to feel like what you've done all year has been rewarded in some way. So take it, blow it, buy whatever you want to buy. The other 75%, put it into an investment, an asset. An asset is I would love for you to put it into an asset that generates passive income, but at very least, and I'll tell you what passive income is in a minute, but at the very least, put it into a revenue or income generating asset. And the litmus test for a good asset is it should generate at least 4.5% per year, because that's what inflation is going to be. Inflation plus taxes is going to be 4.5%, meaning I said this last week. Mm-hmm. You're going to lose 4.5% of your money every year. And that doesn't mean they're going to take it. That just means the value of your money goes down by at minimum 4.5% every year because of inflation. So, Charlie, find a CD, money market, bond, or at minimum Bitcoin or cryptocurrency or NFTs. But at minimum, put it into a savings account that yields at least 4.5%. And right now, there are some good ones out there. I'll endorse a few. Apple Savings Account has a good one. Discover Savings Account has a good one. There is QuickBooks. If you're doing a business and you're using QuickBooks, QuickBooks has a savings account now that generating 5%. So at minimum, put your 75% into some income generating assets. So that's what I'm going to tell you to do.
Go ahead.
Uh-huh.
Now I was going to say, how do you go about doing it in QuickBooks? But then I also was going to make a statement that I was gifted an NFT from City Kids, the organization that I was with since I was in junior high school, and I did the project with City Kids Speak on Liberty with Keith Heron. And I know everyone has seen this banner because this banner has been around forever and a day, where it's the Statue of Liberty in yellow and it's a whole bunch of writing on there. Well, my writing is in the torch. But I was gifted an NFT. I don't know what I'm doing with it at all. But it's there. It's mine. And I have the information. And how much it's yielding, I have no idea. So I'm hoping it's that 4.5% that you was just talking about.
So do you know what an NFT is, or you were you just gifted it and you said it's got to be a gift of something and I'm just going to let it sit?
I was gifted it when we had the conversation and they explained to me what it was. But at the end, because I didn't understand it, it was just like went in one ear, out the other, thank you for my gift. So I haven't checked it. I checked it maybe one time. So I don't know what it's doing.
So an NFT is a great thing, and I would encourage more black people to get accustomed to understanding what NFTs are. They are, in the next 10 years, going to be the thing to invest in. But to explain it simply, an NFT stands for non-fungible token, but don't worry about what it stands for. It's really just a digital collectible. Think of it as a piece of art. So here's the thing about let's look at a piece of art. So you guys are probably familiar with Basquiat, Jean-Michel Basquiat, very famous Brooklyn artist, right? He's passed away, but his artwork is extremely valuable, extremely valuable. When he started, of course, it wasn't. So you've got people who have Basquiat that got them for, like Fab Five Freddy got a Basquiat because he and Basquiat were friends. So Fab Five Freddy got a Basquiat piece Basquiat gave him, but at the time he gave it to him, it was probably worth $25. That same piece right now is probably worth $2.5, maybe $3.5 million. Same piece of art. So understand how art works, right? You get a piece of art, you can hang it up, or you can put it in you put it in storage because you believe that the artist's work is going to get more valuable as they become more famous. Well, let's say you put it on your wall in your living room. And years go by, and the price keeps going up and going up. Great. That means you have an asset worth $2.5 million. But what happens if someone breaks in your house and steals that piece of art off the wall? Or what happens if you have a fire and it gets burnt up? Or what happens if someone comes in the house and they damage it? They're playing in the house and they throw red wine on it. So the good news is you've got this piece of art. The bad news is if it gets damaged or stolen or ruined in any way, it loses its value. Think of NFTs the same way. They are just digital pieces of art. The good news about digital pieces of art is they can't get damaged. They are unhackable pieces of art. So no one can come in and steal it from you. No one can come in and damage it, change it in any way. So it is going to live with you forever. You can pass it along just like you could pass on tangible art. You could take that Basquiat off the wall, give it to your daughter, your son, and they have now the value of that piece of art. But again, same thing happens. It gets stolen. But NFTs are digital collectibles, and you can get digital art, you can get digital coins, you can get digital watches, you can get all kinds of collectibles in the digital space, but they don't have the same volatility, meaning they don't have the same issues that tangible collectibles have. Now, Chocolate, this is a very new space and it's very young. So the piece of art that you have right now may gain value at a very slow pace, but as people start to use cryptocurrency and people start to use and people start to understand what NFTs are, and when they become more popular, that NFT that you have might end up being worth $1 million at some point. That's the the simplest way to explain it.
So I'm rich in the moment. I'm future.
You are rich. you're rich in the
rich.
Moment.
Rich to wealthy.
You're rich to wealthy.
That piece of work that we're actually talking about, I actually worked on it. And my signature is in the torch part of it. I can't remember what I wrote, but of course, you know, I always sign my name and I always write upside down. So I'm in the torch part because I don't subconsciously when I was working on the art, I always said, I want to put it in a place where I can see it, even though this is I forget how many feet the banner is, but you put it in a torch, at least, you know, you go right to the torch. You don't need to go to the foot, the hem, the anything. Go right to the torch. So,
yeah. So the good news for you is you have this digital piece of art that will gain value that you are connected to, and because you're connected to it, you have a community of people that are going to make it more valuable. Like me, I'm going to at some point in the next week or so find out if I can buy that NFT. So I can buy
okay.
one because of course you can own it, I can own it at the same time.
Right. Yes, we can. Yes,
now,
we can.
Here's why I'm trying to impress upon Black people to get into collecting NFTs and cryptocurrency. Because think about, I want you guys to go back to Nazi Germany back in the 1940s, World War, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hitler took a lot of the wealth out of the Jewish community because he took their collectibles. So people who were wealthy, who had paintings and bronze statues and jade jewelry, when Hitler started the war or when they got into the war, how they financed the war and how they took the wealth from the Jewish people in Germany was they took their assets. The great thing about and let me stay there on that, and any country can do that. I am not political. So this is not a political conversation. So I'm not on here to have a political debate. But I believe that Donald Trump is going to be the president of this United States again, and we are in real danger. First of all, the wealth. I told you guys last week, the wealth has been sucked out of all the communities, but certainly the Black community. Over the last 10 years, it has the wealth has gone from the middle class to the top 1%. If we get a president, let's not even say Donald Trump, if we get a president that decides that he is going to be a dictator, one of the first things that's going to happen is they're going to start to take the assets that people have amassed in this country. Obviously, Black people have not amassed wealth nearly like any other community. Our net worth is $27,000 as opposed to the next closest, which is the Latino community, and they're in the 174,000 is their net worth, average net worth. So the first thing that a country is going to do that has a dictator is they're going to start to take away your assets, your stocks, your bonds, your gold, your silver, your paintings, all of those things. The great thing about NFTs is they can't do that. They cannot get access to that. So if you've amassed wealth in the cryptoverse and NFT world, the government, no government, no individual can come take that away from you, and it can travel with you wherever you go. So if you decide, if let's say you amass $15 million worth of digital NFT assets and you decide to flee this country. Now, again, this sounds Armageddon like this. We came to talk, and I'm gonna bring the conversation back down, but just indulge me if you will. Mm-hmm. If you decided that you wanted to get out of this country, it was dangerous, and you wanted to move to, let's say, Liberia, those NFTs travel with you. So whatever you amassed, you go to Liberia, it's going to be worth the same $15 million, and no one in Liberia can take it from you. No one in the United States can take it from you. Unlike tangible assets, they can.
Gotcha. So everyone, lesson, first jewel for tonight, start investing in NFTs. And, you know, and the good thing about it is you don't have to invest a lot. You can get something for maybe about $5, $10. And just to start you off and just to get a hand on what it is that you're doing and shop around in it. I was looking and I was getting frustrated because I wasn't understanding, but then I'll go back and look. So I guess now I need to invest a little bit more time and watch my frustration and have patience with myself to understand it a little better so that I can increase my riches.
Yep.
And okay, that's
here's the deal. Go research. I'm imploring the black community because we tend to get information late. We tend to get it after it is diluted. I'm telling you guys right now, go start getting some cryptocurrency. It doesn't have to be Bitcoin, although Bitcoin is the most popular. It's the one you guys all know. But don't go get some. Go research the different cryptocurrencies out there. Find one that you like. Learn all about it. Don't just jump out there and, because I said so on this call, don't just jump out there and go get it. Learn about it. Learn about how to invest in it. And then start investing a little bit of at a time. At the same time, start investing in NFTs. Trust and believe me. Remember that I said this on March 4th, 2024. You're going to want to get in now because in the next 10 years, this is going to be the thing, just like people got into Google when the internet first started. And you can see what Google has done to date. I promise you this, those two things, NFTs and cryptocurrencies, are going to be the thing to do in the next 10 years.
Okay. And the thing is about it, if you really don't know too much, at least you're in it with something. But then once you start seeing that something mature, you're going to begin to pay a little bit more attention. But I suggest y'all go to the Keith Heron one, the City Kids Speak on Liberty with Keith Heron.
Mm-hmm.
And they just actually took the banner down in Miami because it was right here in Times Square, I think in like October, November, and then it traveled. It went to Miami, and it was on Ocean Avenue. And so now they just took it down. But I just received a message to tag me in. Okay, tag me in her. I am about to bring you on right now. Tag, you're in.
Come on
who
in.
Who are you?
Hello,
and
hello.
Call, baby.
It's Virtuous Eatery by way of New York, by way of Delaware, by way of Harlem. How you doing, Kev?
I'm great. That's my V.E. crew. That V.E.
That's your V.E. Nothing much, babe. I'm listening and learning as per usual. You know it ain't hardly nothing that come out your mouth that I don't take heed to. But and I know you ain't political, but I have to say on the LSO show, we ain't talking politics. But I bind Trump in the name of Jesus, okay? He will not be president. That's all I really had to say. Also, with the NFTs and the cryptocurrency, I started actually after listening to you with Coinbase, little by little, you know, you build up whatever you can, you know, you do it according to your budget. But on Coinbase, they actually teach you about the cryptocurrency that you're buying into. They teach you about the wallets and things like that. And it's for beginners, you know, it's crypto for dummies. But I've learned a lot between you and Coinbase. So reading is fundamental. If you really want to look into that, is worth every penny, like, that you put into it.
That, okay. And I always appreciate your support. You are, you know, I love y'all, so I appreciate it. And you're 1,000% correct. Again, I say these things as teasers. I say these things. My information is not the end; it's the beginning. And so you do exactly what I'm asking the audience to do. Hear me, and then go research.
Right. That's why I continue to listen. You know, I continue to apply what I've learned from you, and I thank you wholeheartedly. My family thanks you. I'm getting my son into cryptocurrency as we speak. He'll be 21. So I'm, you know, trying to educate him as I educate myself.
Perfect. Perfect. All right.
Now, remember, last week, we did talk about you can begin building his credit with
absolutely.
Card that he don't have access to. But
absolutely.
Yet his credit is being established.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer. I did that with my daughter her first year in college. She didn't get a card, but by the time she graduated school, she had like a 778 credit score. So, I mean, and she graduated in 4 years, you know, so it works if you work it. You just got to know how to do it. And that was on personal credit. So, again, like I said, you know, you got to listen, take the information, do your research, and apply it to where you need to apply it to. It works. You just got to put in the time.
It does. Well, I thank you, B to the E.
Thank
so
you so much.
I just want you to know, Kev, V to the E is extremely tired. But she called me and was like, Kevin is on tonight, right? I was like, yes. She's like, okay, I'm not going to talk. I'm just going to lay and listen because, you know, I'm tired. Voila.
Yeah. I had to show my love, show my support. Listen,
that's,
you got to help those that
so
help you. So this is where I'm at.
And I love you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'm going to put you back on home. Good night. See, these are the messages I'll be getting. Tag me in. One of the questions is we touched on it last week, but we never went in depth of how it works and the purpose of it. Can you explain the debt-to-equity ratio and what is the purpose of it? And how does it affect someone?
Now, when you say, are you saying debt to income or debt to equity? So debt to equity is a business term. That means how much debt a company owes compared to how much equity or how much investment they have in the business. So you... In other words, you have $100,000 worth of debt in your business. Now, again, if we're talking debt to equity, that's a business term. That assumes that you have a
and
business.
And debt to income is a personal.
That's personal.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to answer the question as it was asked. So your business has $100,000 worth of debt. You've put in $1 million worth of investment, financial investment. Let's say you put in $1 million worth of cash into your business. That means you have a 1-to-10 debt to equity ratio. For every $1 of debt, you have $10 worth of equity. obviously, the bigger the number, the better the ratio, the better your business looks. That's just one ratio that people will look at to determine the health of your business. So if the question was asked, if the question was asked debt to equity, it just means how much debt compared to how much equity you have. And again, the more equity you put in, the better your business looks.
So now, that would be the same. That would be the same as, for instance, if you have a house. The more you put into your house, the higher the value of your house becomes.
So in house, you're looking at, if you bought the house in your personal name, they're looking at debt to income.
Okay.
And that's when same principle. That means how much debt do you have that's showing on your credit report versus how much money you make. And they typically do it monthly. And usually they use the debt-to-income ratio when you're going to purchase the house. The only time, because equity doesn't, again, equity is a really, it's a business term for business, reserved for businesses. So if you're talking a personal house, they're using debt to income, and they're using it to determine how much house you can afford. So if you
right.
and the good news is, or the rule of thumb is, you do not want to spend more than 35% in debt of your income, including your mortgage interest and insurance.
Okay.
If your monthly income is $10,000, then all of your monthly debts combined should be no more than
$3,500. Mm.
Now.
Okay. Okay. Now, another question. Because we were going to stay right on business for a minute. Is there a difference or benefit in for your business as far as having a banking account versus a credit union account for a business? Which would be better and why? Or is it good to have both when you have a business?
It is good to have three bank accounts. All of my clients are required to have three bank accounts. We strongly suggest, there are no requirements. We strongly suggest that they have three bank accounts. It's a great question. We ask that you have a bank account at a major bank, and I'm going to tell you how to move money through those accounts. We ask you to have a major bank account. The major bank account we want you to have because, one, major banks typically come with FDIC insurance. So the money that you put in that bank is insured by the federal government up to a point. Usually it's $250,000.
Right.
The other thing is major banks have more branches. So if you are a business that collects cash or checks, still paper checks, and you're doing business in different states, you don't want to have to try to travel with a check or a pocket full of cash back to a state to deposit it into your bank. So you want to have a major bank so that you can deposit it, has more branches, you can deposit the money in the ATMs or at the teller. The other reason you want to have a major bank account is because major banks have more lending products and lend out typically more money because they have more money to lend. So major bank account. You also want to have a credit union account. Credit union account because credit unions have less stringent guidelines. The unfortunate part about a major bank is, as you guys have seen with Navy Federal, the credit unions have less stringent lending guidelines because a credit union, you are a member. So you have made an agreement with all the rest of the members. So they don't have as stringent guidelines. for lending. They look at you more individually than they do as a number. The major banks, you are a number. They say, if this is your net profit margin, if this is your debt to equity ratio, then this is how much money you can get from us. They don't care what your business is. They don't care how you're servicing your clients. They just care about the numbers. Credit union is more likely to look at who you are as a person and your relationship that you've had with the credit union. However, most credit unions are not FDIC insured, and they don't have as much money, which means they don't have as many lending products. But you have that and your major bank. And then community bank is a hybrid of the two. Most community banks, and a community bank means a bank that is only in your neighborhood or at most in your state. It doesn't go across state lines. So,
okay.
And the community bank, most community banks come with some sort of FDIC insurance, but they treat you like an individual, not like a number. So you get the best of both worlds. Again, they don't have as many lending products, but you get that FDIC insurance. Now, those are three banks that I strongly suggest all businesses have, and I suggest you move money through them in quarters, 25%. So you're going to deposit all 100 of the revenue that your business makes. And by the way, in a business, it's called revenue. In the business, you're going to deposit 100% of your revenue into the major bank. And then you take the first 25% and put it in your pocket or move it to your personal bank account. The first 25%. Charles, do you hear what I'm saying when I say first 25%?
Yes, you said the first 25%.
Is what I'm saying. Put that into your pocket. Put it into your pocket because if you don't put money in your pocket, you will get discouraged running your business because you're not running your business is running you. You don't get to enjoy the money. You're getting up every day. You're not able to go on vacation. You're not able to buy those creature comforts that you like. So put money away first.
Right.
For yourself. That's the principle of pay yourself first. I insist on that. The second 25%
okay.
is going to go into a savings account for your business, and it is a savings account for emergencies. An emergency is not, I wanted to go on vacation. It was, I needed a vacation, and so I used my savings. No, savings is one of your payments from your vendors didn't come in, and you've got to pay payroll. You got to use your savings. But then the second 25% is going to go into the credit union in a savings account. The third 25% is going to go into the community bank, and you're going to use that for business expenses. That's where you pay for marketing. That's where you pay for new website, equipment, inventory, whatever the needs of your business are going to come out of your community bank checking account, and it's going to be the third 25%. And then the fourth 25%, you'll leave it in the major bank, and that is for, what's that for, Chocolate? Taxes.
Say that again?
The fourth 25%.
Shouldn't that fourth 25% be for me too? Or is that for investing?
No.
What is it
for? Taxes.
Oh, I forgot about
that. You must pay your taxes in the business. This is where, right, most people forget about that. And then you end So businesses do not get tax refunds. They just get tax write-offs. Let me be clear about what I'm saying.
Business
will either owe taxes, should never get a tax refund. It should either owe taxes or owe no taxes. But the government will never send a business a tax refund unless You pay taxes and you pay them in quarters. You estimate and you overestimate.
Mm.
But only way you can get a tax refund from a business, you pay your taxes in quarters. So every 3 months you're paying taxes and you're saying, I'm going to send you $10,000, 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 which is $40,000, and you're only supposed to pay $30,000. Then you'll get a tax refund. That's the only time your business is going to get a tax refund. But most of you are going to be doing your business taxes once a year. You will never get a tax refund that way. The best that you can hope for is that you write off everything and you don't owe any taxes.
Okay.
You're going to have to pay taxes for your business. So that fourth 25% is to pay your taxes. Now, you asked me a question, Chocolate. Shouldn't that
fourth
25% be for me so I can invest? No. Where does your investment money come from?
Wouldn't that come from the first 25%, that personal?
Your first 25%. That's correct. And if you're really managing your money right, personally, what I would tell you to do is break your money down into quarters on the personal side, right? So let's put numbers to what I'm talking about. You got $10,000. You put all $10,000 in the major bank. You take $2,500 of it. You put it into your personal checking account. You take the next 25. So that's the first 25. You take the second $2,500. You're going to put it into your credit union savings account. That's for business emergencies. Your third 25%, you're going to put it into your community bank's checking account, and that's what you're going to use to pay your business expenses. And that fourth 25%, that fourth 2,500, is going to stay in the major bank, because that's where you put it, stays in the major bank, and when it's time to pay your taxes, you're going to use that 2,500 to pay your taxes, right? Now,
so that will
let's
be the
move
same
over.
Way for personal taxes, I mean for personal.
Okay.
Personal credit
you got
as well.
You got it. So now you take that $2,500, put it in your personal checking account. 25% of that $2,500, that's going to go into your pocket. That's your blow that money. That's how you live with no buyer's remorse. Because that first 25%, and let's just chalk just for S and G. I'm not going to curse on here, so I'm not going to tell you what S and G stands for. But the first $625, that's 25% of 2,500. So the first $625 of the money you moved into your personal checking account, take it out of the bank, put it into your pocket. That goes in your pocket. You get to blow that. You saw those Pradas you like? Life is good. That's what you use to pay for that plane ticket. That's what you use to pay for that. And if you're using credit right, you don't have to pay for that plane ticket, but we'll talk about that in a minute. But that's what you use to go play with. You can go blow that, and you don't have to worry about it because you set it aside. The next $625 goes to what? Savings.
Goes to your savings
account.
Put it
in an interest-bearing savings account because you're going to have a personal emergency. So that $625 goes into your personal emergency fund, your savings account, and you want it to be an interest-bearing savings account. The third $25, that's what you use to pay what? Bills.
The bills.
Pay your bills. That's your Con Ed. That's your phone bill, your Verizon. That's your mortgage, your rent. That comes out of that third 25. And your fourth 25, what do you use that for?
Taxes, in case.
Taxes, because you will have to pay taxes. You took $2,500, you're going to pay taxes on that $2,500. Remember, that $2,500 came out of the business, went into your pocket. So you're going to have to pay $2,500 income tax. Got it? Now,
yeah.
Now you got emergency fund when that car breaks down. You got the emergency fund. That's where you go for that. When you want to take that trip, that,
well,
that
actually,
comes out
you
of your...
Well, you have two funds because you possibly can use the personal, the 25% from the personal, you know, if you haven't used it all on buying something. So you may have 50% now for in case of emergency.
Tell the folks where that 50% comes from. Where'd you get that 50%?
That 50% is the first 25 that you put away into your check-in or savings account for you, and then it's the next 25% that you're supposed to put away for in case of an emergency.
For
like
your
that's
business.
Where you put it in the credit union. Right.
For your business. But Chocolate.
Yes.
Here's the deal. The deal. Your car breaks down. You own it in your personal name.
But the
name.
Car is still a part of for business.
Aha. The car breaks down. You own it in your personal name. Can you use that 25% from your business account?
No, because you're crossing over business and personal. That's
you
why you
cannot.
Gotta buy your car in your business name.
And if you buy your car in your business name, then you can use 50%. You can use the 25% from your business and the 25% from your personal because you get to write that off on your taxes. But if you use it in your personal name, you can't. Oh, Chocolate, you got something right there.
See, you done messed me up like bloop, bloop, bloop.
Come on, Chocolate. We talking how to play
so
with money now. We
this
playing
is
with real
why
money.
You should become a business. And back to what Jay-Z said, I remember from it, you always said that. Jay-Z said, I'm a business man. And some people, it went over their head because they heard businessman. And they thought maybe he was taking a deep breath. But now that statement is very blatant. If you, the individual, is operating as your business, everything you do is business. So your personal really doesn't exist. But it does exist. But you are a business, and you get more perks because you are your business.
So when Jay-Z comes through in that Bentley flying, that's a business. That his business owns that. So he writes that off on his taxes. But if Sean Carter owned it, can't do it. That's playing with money. That's where you're playing with money. That's what these wealthy people are doing. That's what they're doing. So, Chocolate, the only money that you can spend on, and here's the thing, Chocolate, here's the thing. I'm going to take you one step further. Take you one step further. You really want to play with some money?
Yes.
You still with me? I'll take you one step further.
Uh-huh.
25% of your business money went into your business expense account, your checking account at the community bank, right?
Right.
You know what I spend part of that? You know what's part of my every month expense?
What?
Investments. Stocks, bonds, crypto, NFTs. Those things I invest out of my business. You know why?
Because
I get tax breaks. Because I can write it off and I get tax breaks. And I don't have to pay capital gains tax the way that I have to pay personally.
So, ladies and gentlemen, the next thing y'all should have learned is become a business. Become a business and operate personally as a business because you get more perks as a business than you do personally. But if you don't want a business, that's fine. Just know how to conduct your money personally so that things can work out on your behalf. But I did receive a text message, and it says, what are your speaker's thoughts on purchasing gold bars?
Do it. So the first thing is you have to diversify. Do not put all of your investments into one thing. And gold, silver, platinum, iron, steel, all of those commodities are very good investments. Gold specifically because, again, those things tend to always appreciate in value. Certainly they don't tend to lose value the way some stocks do, some bonds do. The trouble with gold is, keep in mind, gold is an ore, so it is limited in its supply. The more limited it is, the more valuable it is, the more it costs. And I want to take you back to, I don't want to scare you, but I just want to point you back in time, back in history. When Hitler became the dictator, the first thing he took were the gold bars that people owned. That is not to, but here's the thing. That's why you diversify. That's why you diversify. Put some money in gold, because when stocks fall and stock market crashes, if you've got a safe full of gold, you've got some value. But if you've got gold, stocks, and Bitcoin, then if the dictator should come into power and take your gold and take your stock, you've got your NFTs and your cryptocurrency. So always diversify. But, yes, gold is a great investment. Coins or otherwise, just make sure they're real. Watch out for those scam companies out there trying to sell you fake coins. Gold bars are a great thing to purchase.
Well, that's another thing y'all learned tonight on the show. Go and get you a gold bar.
Get you a gold
bar. What about that gold tooth that you had in your mouth back when you was 13? Is that worth anything?
Absolutely. Absolutely it is. Absolutely.
Because,
listen,
you know, that was pure. That was pure. The gold that you're getting now is not as pure as what before.
It's not. That little thin chain that your boyfriend gave you for Valentine's Day when you turned 16, and you looked at that thing like, what is this? You threw it in a little drawer. Go find that. Keep that. Get that. It's Women's Month, so I know y'all getting jewelry. The little gold things y'all used to get, y'all used to throw it like, oh, the bamboo. Y'all know how y'all, the bamboo. If you don't have your bamboo, the name, get. I know you had at least two pairs. That's what LL told me. He said you had two pairs.
You know,
get those.
Like, I was looking through my jewelry, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I have so many one earrings, gold earrings, but I refuse to throw them away because that's when gold was gold. Not saying it's not gold now, but the value of one of those earrings from when I was a teenager. So if I go and purchase something now, I think my teenage years with my little teenage piece of gold would be worth so much more. Well, actually, I know it would probably be so much more.
Yeah.
Well, a statement came in. It said franchise tax are quarterly and the every June is your business tax, which is $300, I guess, in reference to when we were talking about the $625 and the $2,500. So, you know, they was breaking down a little more with the franchise tax. Now, in mentioning the franchise tax, is that per state you're working in or where your business is located, or is that just overall?
It's both. So you're going to pay federal tax and state tax. And the state tax is going to be different, obviously, in each state. What you pay in franchise tax is going to be different in New York than it is in Pennsylvania and so forth and so on. And then the federal government is going to get a piece of that franchise tax as well. And that person is correct. For most of you guys, just start to think about moving your business to paying taxes quarterly. That way you can assure that you're not underestimating your taxes, and when the end of the year comes, you're not getting hit with a huge tax liability. I still do my taxes yearly, annually, but I got hit last year. I had a taxable event that I didn't account for, and I got hit with a $6,000 assessment. It was unexpected. Just the cost of it had to be done, and it's the cost of making a mistake. I made a mistake, My accountant didn't catch the mistake, not because my accountant is not a good accountant, but my accountant is a human being, and I didn't point out to him something that happened. I didn't remember that this thing happened, and I forgot to point it out to him, and so I got hit with this stuff. Had I done my tax? Yeah, they amended it from the federal government. The federal government amended it for me. And that's why I got hit with a $6,000 tax assessment, because I underpaid my taxes by $6,000. So yes, it can be amended, and you can amend it the other way. It works. Amendments work in. They work in your favor.
Get a refund as well.
Typically, it's not a refund. Again, the only time you get a refund means
really
you overpaid. Right. Now, if you pay quarterly, you could get a refund. Ideally,
okay. Now,
but you don't want a refund. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Finish saying what you were saying.
Again, remember, guys, there's this thing called the time value of money. The opportunity cost of money is how you can look at it. A refund means you overpaid the government, which means you were not able to take advantage of opportunities that were presented to you during the year. Whether it's personal or business, if you get a refund, that means you gave too much money to the government and you didn't get. Which means you couldn't take
advantage of your money
popped up. Correct. Your money could have been earning 8% compounded daily, but you couldn't do that because you were paying it out.
Okay, so you got to be mindful, ladies and gentlemen. Be sure to talk to your tax preparer, and they should be knowledgeable in how to advise you on which route is best for you. Question. This is in business and personal, because I don't know how it would affect on either side or if it has the same effect. How does someone recover from filing bankruptcy? And how long does it take for them to recover?
2 years before you can, 24 months, so 2 years before you can start to build credit back in your name, and 7 years before you will get back to a level, personal side, 700s. Business credit, you can file a bankruptcy on a business today and be up and running with a new business tomorrow, a la Donald Trump. So remember, all financial laws were written for businesses to take advantage and women and consumers to be taken advantage of. I said women. That was a Freudian slip.
Apology accepted.
My apology. Humble apology. I want no smoke in Women's Month. I'm about to start in a minute, too.
Not in March.
Not even a month. But yeah, bankruptcy is very, very dangerous because of how long it takes to recover, and it is, in some instances, it's, you may never recover because you might never, or not never, but it could take you up to 10 years before you're able to get to interest rates on things that you want to buy that are as if you didn't file the bankruptcy. What I mean by that is, if you go to get a mortgage, that's where bankruptcy is going to hurt you the most. If you go get a mortgage, even if you waited 4 years, your credit score went up to 700. If you go to get a mortgage and you had a bankruptcy on your credit report, the rates are going to be as if your score was a 620. Even if your score was a 750, the rate that you're going to get is going to be like your score was a 620 because they look at that bankruptcy. That bankruptcy is very dangerous, very detrimental.
At no point is bankruptcy beneficial.
I mean, it's beneficial for your health and for your mental health. I mean, sometimes I try to tell people to avoid it at all costs, but your mental health has a value. It is extremely valuable. If you can't sleep at night, if you're sick because you can't pay your bills, you're just not bringing in enough income, and you have no way to bring in enough income. I have a friend right now that has 6 children, some of them, and she has a grandchild who's her oldest daughter passed away at 21, and she's now taking care of an 8-year-old, and she's not able to work, you know, any steady hours because she's got to pick him up from school. That wasn't something that she asked for. It wasn't something that she planned for. But because she can't work but so many hours during the day and that night, she's limited in what she can do. So in that regard, I would tell you, if you can avoid it, avoid it. But if you must, because your health, your physical and mental health is getting damaged, then go ahead and do it. But before you do it, two things. I would tell you to call all of your creditors months before. Don't stop ducking your creditors. I told you this last week. Stop ducking your creditors. Stop ducking them. Talk to them. They're human. They are human beings at the end of that phone. Call them up. Listen. Something happens, something catastrophic happens, or not even catastrophic, but something happens and life got crazy. We had a pandemic, so that's a great example. Pandemic comes, no one planned for that. People bought houses, they got into mortgages, and then their jobs closed or closed for a period of time. No one planned for that. Call your creditors immediately. I just lost my job closed or what have you. Hey, what can we do about these payments so that I can keep my credit intact? A lot of credit cards will suspend interest for a period of time. A lot of loans will do the same. Some of them will give you a forbearance for months. I've seen companies do a forbearance for 2 years. So call them. Ask them. Don't be afraid. Look, this is an emotional thing. I know a lot of people don't ask questions because they're afraid of the answers. You're afraid that they're going to say no. It's a possibility that they're going to say no. But there's a possibility that they're going to say yes too. And remember, the bank is also in the pandemic. The people that work at the bank are in the same pandemic that you're in. So a lot of them have issues with their credit. So you call them and say, look, hey, worked in the restaurant industry. They closed all the restaurants down 6 months, 7 months. My restaurant didn't recover, have been unable to find job. Can you suspend my payments and suspend my interest for a period of time? Sure, we'll do that for you. The next thing that you do is do your best to, if you have to, as soon as you can, you can seek a debt consolidation loan. Has a lower interest rate, but there are when I'm talking to my clients, they're case-by-case basis. Some people I tell them, instead of filing bankruptcy, let's apply for a credit card that has a 0% balance transfer interest rate for a year or 18 months. There are plenty of them. I've seen a 24-month no interest. Actually, I've seen a 36-month no interest balance transfer. You get $20,000 on the credit card. You transfer your $20,000 worth of debt onto that card. Now you're not paying any interest. You're paying it to one card. That's doing you better than
paying on principal.
Right. Or do a debt consolidation loan, a low-interest debt consolidation loan. The debt consolidation – I want to stay here for just a second. If you get a debt consolidation loan, please make sure it is a new loan going on your credit report. What I mean is they're going to give you a loan, they're going to cut you a check, and you're going to use that check to pay off debt. They're going to put a new loan on your credit report, so you should see a new entry from the company that you're doing. Beware of the debt consolidation companies that say, give us this money, every month we're going to pay your bills, and we're going to take part of your payment as fees. So we're going to take $500 every month, $400 is going to go to the bills, $100 is going to go to us. Beware of those companies. Very careful about those companies because a lot of times they are not paying your bills or they're telling you not to pay your bills. Your bills are not getting paid, and you're getting missed and late payments. If you're going to do debt consolidation, find a company that's going to cut you a check.
Gotcha. Understood. I received the message, tag me in. So tag you in, tag you it.
It's me. I'm back. It's V to the E. So, Kev, I have a scenario for you, and I would love to hear your response. But this is not part of VE. This is something that I actually did for a client when I was doing accounting. So one of my clients, I would do their taxes at the end of the year. One of my clients had a big debt, and I pray I'm not getting in trouble because, I ain't naming no names. So had a big debt. We're talking about over $20,000. They were in debt. There was like identity fraud, right, on their behalf. And so what I advised them to do, because I had to do it for myself at one point in time, I was in debt and I talked with the creditors, and the creditor told me what we can do instead of they had already canceled out the credit card, right? What we can do is send you a 1099. And so basically what that did for me, which also when I advised my client to do it, what it did for them was the business that they owed wrote off the debt, right? And instead of selling it to a credit debt collector for pennies on a dollar, which they do, they then sent them something like a W-2 or W-4 IRS, document saying, listen, we wrote this off. And basically now this becomes that individual's income. So let's say my client was in debt for $35,000. They gave them a document that they report to the IRS because the business reported it to the IRS, which is a 1099. So now if this person made $50,000 a year, they now have an additional $30,000 that they have to report as income to the IRS because the person that they were indebted to, the creditor, wrote it off and submitted to the client or the ex-client a 1099. So can you talk to that? Do you know anything about that?
I certainly can. Yep, I certainly can. That's called a 1099-C. By the way, do not confuse that with the 1099 contractor. So 1099 contractor means you are working for a company as a subcontractor and they're going to give you a 1099. You're classified as a 1099, not a W-2 employee. The 1099-C form that you're talking about is the cancellation of debt. And you said it correctly. I can't say it better than you. I'm just going to say it differently. So
okay.
What happens is if they do that, They canceled that $20,000. So they said the client did not owe $20,000. But the client had to pay taxes on $20,000 as if they had gotten $20,000 extra in revenue. So, and it's just like everybody that got their student loans canceled.
Right.
You're going to get a tax assessment that is going to, they're going to assess a part of that. Because y'all know that there's no gift. A part of that you're going to have to pay income on. I know y'all out there celebrating like the federal government loves y'all. Ain't no reparations. That black people ain't getting reparations yet. We're not there yet. So the government is not giving y'all free money. They wrote your debt off, and they're going to send you a tax assessment. You're going to have to pay taxes as if that was income. But it's going to come down the line. It's going to be a minute. But let me get back to your scenario. The challenge with that is the company and the federal government essentially got paid twice.
Absolutely.
This is what I don't like about that. Because the federal government says a creditor can write off up to 75% of their debts. So when you guys see a charge off on your credit report, they can do that and not collect. So I know you guys have seen this where a charge off, a credit card charged off $5,000, and they don't send it to collections. They don't try to collect it. They just leave it on your credit report. And you're saying, they never came after me. I had it on my credit report for 6 years. They've never come after me. They may never come after me.
Because they got paid already.
They got paid already. The federal government said they could write up to 75% of that off as bad debt. So in your scenario, the federal government had already put that in place. So the company had already written 75% of that $20,000 off. That was $15,000? $15,000 they had written off. And the other $5,000, they just chalked it up to, so the company didn't have to collect. And the company still, the federal government still got the $20,000. They could have either gotten it from the creditor or gotten it from you. They got it from you. And you know what happened? They got it at a higher tax rate. Because you paid 35% on it. This person paid 35% on it. The company would have paid 10%, 15 at max. So the federal government got
it. But there's a better alternative. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Nope.
I was going to say it's a better alternative than filing bankruptcy.
A much better alternative. Much better alternative than filing bankruptcy. You're 100% correct.
Okay.
So for those of you listening, thank you for introducing that. For those of you listening, look up a 1099-C cancellation of debt.
Okay. Okay.
Now, just remember, as an individual, you're going to pay a much higher tax rate. So you just keep that in mind. And here's the thing about that. The reason that, so it is better than filing bankruptcy. But you have to be very careful when you come on in promoting that. In my conversations, I am always promoting, let's not just tell the subject of the conversation. Let's also say the predicate.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the deal. In that scenario, that debt that you owe to the IRS will follow you to and beyond death. Unlike a bankruptcy. Now, the bad news about a bankruptcy is could hurt you for up to 10 years. Good news about a bankruptcy is past that 10 years really has no effect. But you just got a $20,000 increase in income that you're going to be taxed on. So it's very possible it's going to eat up your tax return, and it's possible that you may even owe taxes at the end of the year. Those taxes to the federal government will follow you into and beyond death. If you have a life insurance policy, so if you die, let's say you owed $5,000 on those taxes and you passed away, and you had a life, or you didn't, or you had a life insurance policy of $10,000. Let's say it was a small life insurance policy, Gerber. You had one of them Gerber Jones. You, your $10,000 that's supposed to go to your beneficiaries are now going to get taxed. I mean, not taxed. They're going to get levied. There's going to be a lien. You're only going to get. They're only going to get $5,000 of that $10,000.
Mm. I think the IRS makes sure they get their money. They do not.
They gonna get their money.
At
get their money.
All.
They gonna get it from us, not the ones that's making millions and billions.
Mm-hmm.
They gonna get it from the little people, not the ones making millions and billions. They not looking
of
at
course.
Them. It's us. Mm-hmm.
But of course,
guys, y'all can beat them. Jay-Z told you how to beat them. Not a businessman. I'm a businessman.
you
gotta
play the game
as an individual, then the only thing they can do is assessment onto your business.
Okay.
And your business is going to be taxed at a much lower rate. I'm not a businessman. I'm a business.
Man.
Right.
So,
right.
So back to what I said earlier, become a business.
A business. Mm-hmm.
Now, nobody said it had to be a big business. It could be a little bit, or start off little. It could be, turn your hobby into a business and watch it take off.
Boom.
And you have... I think between 5 and 7 years of a business loss for a new business that they give you grace
five
before
years.
You need to start producing some form of income.
Mm-hmm.
So within that time, you know, you should be able to generate something. I'm just saying, that's just my little tactic. You know, I know a little bit of something. A little bit of
I think y'all know all that y'all know.
And the great thing is we pass on the information, but you who are listening, be sure to research, because this could be something personal to us and our situation, or to someone we know in their situation, and there could be a little tweak in everyone's situation that will cause the same thing that we're saying now to act differently with you. So, like we said when we first started talking, and I always say these are our personal and or research. So we're not binding. We're binding to this information based on us personally, being we went through it or we know someone who went through it. But for you, this is just information for you, and now you can take this information that we've shared and see how this information can apply to you and what you can benefit from it.
Absolutely. Informational purposes only. I just, I was in an accounting field for many, many, many years. I'm aging myself, but there are ways around it, and sometimes, like he said, the last thing you want to do is file bankruptcy. So if you are in a dire need, that's why I said, let me pose this question to him, like, how does it affect you long-term going forward? But it is an easy fix if your creditors are willing to do business with you. And then the onus falls on you as the person with the debt having to deal with the IRS, and you may not have such a big liability. It may even be less than the debt that you initially had with the creditor, but there's ways around not filing bankruptcy, and that was my point, because I seen them like, okay, you know, and it was like 1, 2, 3, and I'm like, oh, that was kind of easy. Like, what's behind that? You know what I'm saying? So I just
wanted
to see if it's always, they're not giving you anything for free. Please believe it.
That part.
Chuck, can I talk to the women for a little while? Can I talk to the women for a little
while?
Sure, you
may.
Can I talk? It's Women's Month, and I want to talk to the women. I love my queens. I want to talk to y'all about two things. I want to talk to you about your health and the men that you choose. Health.
Mm.
The number one reason that women go into credit card debt is because of health issues. The number one reason men go into credit card debt is because of divorce. Health issues. The number one reason why women go into or into credit, not credit card, not just credit card debt. The number one reason why in the black, this is the black community, I'm talking strictly black community. In the black community, the number one reason why women have low credit scores is health reasons. Women, please get health insurance. Get health insurance. Stop saying health insurance is a scam. Stop thinking you're not going to need health insurance. Get it. That's the number one reason that women, black women, have low credit scores, because you have a health issue. You go to the hospital. You go to the doctor. You don't have insurance, or you don't have adequate insurance, and you get a hospital bill. It's $5,000. You can't pay it. So you put it on a credit card. You end up not paying a credit card. You end up going into debt, and then you end up in this place of bankruptcy. The number one reason for men is divorce. So women, go get health insurance. Get as much health insurance as you can afford. And if you have a very bad health insurance plan, see if you can get a supplemental plan. I'm not, again, I don't endorse because I don't get paid from the little ducks that quack across the screen. So I'm not going to say who. But get a supplemental health plan or something. Get a health savings plan at your job. Get as much health insurance as you can possibly afford so that you don't end up trying to file bankruptcy or a 1099-C. That's jewel number one. That's the first thing. The second thing?
Oh, damn.
Women, choose your men better. Now, I'm talking to the women. You guys are my audience. I'm not blaming you. I'm not shaming you. And I am not putting the onus of responsibility on you. In fact, I'm putting the onus of responsibility on men. Men have left the houses. We have required you guys to raise children independent of us. I'm going to give you three jewels. Independent of us, we have not stepped up, and we've not stepped, not just not have we not stepped up as fathers, we've not stepped up as community leaders. We have not raised the children that don't belong to us. When we see these kids out in the street, we don't tell them to pull up their pants. They don't respect women anymore. They don't respect men anymore. So they're running amok. It is the men's responsibility to put you guys back into a place that you can operate in the vibration that you were created to operate in. You're operating outside of your vibration. That does not mean I am not here. I'm not against the LGBTQIA community. If that is your choice, that is your choice, and I have nothing against that. I'm just simply saying you're raising children, and the universe, God, did not intend for you to do that by yourself. That said,
well, you couldn't get your children by yourself. So let's start there. I mean, you can't. Well, no, either way you put it, you can't get a child by yourself.
You can't.
Whether it's artificially inseminated or you do. It has to get got with two things. And
now,
one is from him, and one is from her.
That said, onus of responsibility on us. But I'm asking you to choose your men differently, better. Money is extremely important. It is not the most important thing. But do not be misguided in believing that you can live, certainly not in this country, without money. So when you're talking to your men, you need to be in their finances. Get out their phone. Stop trying to find out who they were with on Tuesday. and get into their credit reports. You guys are getting hit with supporting men through their financial woes. When you're talking to a man and you ask him, can I see your credit? I'm going to share my credit report with you. You share your credit report with me. If that man is not willing to do that, keep having the conversation. I'm not telling you to break up with your man. I'm telling you, keep having the conversation. Bank accounts, investments. You need to know everything there is to know about that man and his finances, because his lack of ability to manage finances will take you out. Finances are extremely important. I believe there are four pillars of a relationship. You need to be on the. You need to be having constant conversations about children, where you live, money, and sex. Spend a lot of time on this radio show talking about sex, so I know y'all got that under control. Y'all promote that. No, there's no shortage of sexual conversations on this radio show, but the financial conversation,
because I haven't had one yet. So this year, thus far, is a shortage.
Then you're overdue. But you talk to that man. You know you have a good man if that man is openly willing to share his finances with you and his financial shortcomings, if there are some. Because you women will end up picking up the slack, and that's what puts you in those health issues, because you get under stress. Your body can't handle it because you're trying to pay bills from a car. He went out and bought one of them Hellcats, crashed it, decided he wasn't going to pay the bill, hit his credit. He brought that to you. Now the creditors are calling both of y'all. Y'all get married. Now you got this debt that y'all both have to take care of because you're trying to move into a house.
Then cold
comes up
for him.
Exactly. So I'm saying to you guys, have those. Take care of your health and have those conversations openly, honestly, and have them as often as you absolutely need to be comfortable.
How soon should you have those conversations?
Immediately.
Date number two. Date number one, sexually active. How sexually active are you? Date number two, what's your money look like?
How financially active are you?
How financially
secure are you?
Because you need to make a decision about that man based on those
early
things. Date number three, how are you with, what are your thoughts about children and family? Date number four, where are you going to live? Those are the first four dates.
If you didn't move in after date number one, because these women be doing too much these days. I mean, meet them, date them one night, and they didn't move in the same night. Get out of here.
Brought them on in the house.
Right.
And all
they did, they there.
Toxicity.
Well,
and here's the thing. It is much easier to keep somebody out your house than to get them out your house.
What?
That part. That's why until I'm serious with you, you're not allowed to come to my house. You're not allowed to come across my threshold, because now you're bringing your spirit and your energy into my space. And if you're not going to be around for long, you can lose my number. But, you know, as my cousin would say, you give a man 2 weeks. I think
right.
I'm a little bit more lenient than that. But she's like, no, you give him 2 weeks. And if things are not right, you're like,
Yeah.
So, but yeah,
I would say your cousin is right. That's you having a discerning spirit that the Negro ain't no good. Like, why waste your time? But, you know, that's just me. I've been married for 22 years, y'all, so y'all don't listen to me. I'm happy. I'm just saying, when I was out there, those are the questions. What's your finances looking like? You love your mama? You pay your own bill? You living up off a woman? Oh, your ex still paying? Oh, no. See, we're not doing that. That's little boy behavior. I need a grown man. So that was me back in, what, 2000?
Interesting how the conversations change because
now you're
for
right.
me.
Got some on the male, female.
I've added on more
it's
questions.
A resume.
Like, what did you come with the manufacturer? I need to know. I need to see the manufacturer warranty. And, you know, it's unfortunate that you have to ask these questions, but the same way they are entitled to their entitlement, I am entitled to my entitlement as well. And as much as I respect you and yours, I need to respect me and mine. Now, if I say this is what I want and what I'm looking for, then that's what I should be getting. And if you send a representative giving me what I say I want, and then after further research, it's not what I want, so now the representative have left, and now you surface, that's a problem.
I am suggesting, you're 1,000% right. I'm suggesting not only do you have the conversation, make the man produce receipts.
Right.
I want receipts. So I have never, ever been with a woman who asked me for my credit report. But here's the thing. My credit report paints a clear picture of who I am. You can see
and
a history of who I am and who I've been.
Right.
You can see a history. You look at a credit report and you can see that, okay, in October, I may have had some missed payments. Explained by, I have two daughters, both born in October. So do I spend my money on my children? That picture shows up, right? You look at my bank account, the same thing is going to be the case. My credit score drops in October, and my bank account drops in October. So you can see where, listen, most men, you can tell how a man feels about you by where he spends his money.
Absolutely.
What he spends his time and money on are what is important to him. And those are homogenous. They are true across the board. So ask that man, date number one, to produce a health screening. Full panel. Mm-hmm. I want blood, urine. I want saliva. Mm-hmm. Give it all to me.
See, Kev, you being nice, because they got pills now that cover all that mess up. So that used to be the case back in our day. You want blood tests and results and stuff. But now they got pills that could cover all that stuff up. And I feel you being nice with the women in debt because of medical issues. And that might be true, maybe about 70% true. The real truth, because I'm going to call it like I mean it, the real truth is stop taking care of these grown blind men. Hello?
That's
like, hard. I really don't understand it, because the time that we take out of our lives and time that we take out from our kids to uplift and support some of these men that ain't even worth 2 cents that you might find in the street is really ridiculous. And they do it, why? Because we allow them to.
Because you allow it.
Not
so
me.
So stop
but y'all.
Allowing.
No judgment.
Especially the financial part. I am of the age, I'm not looking for a come up. You need to already be up. You need to already be assembled. Because I can bring all the materialistic stuff with me. And when I leave, I can take all my materialistic stuff with me too. Because I can sit with my table and look at you. So I don't have to come to your table. I can bring my own table and sit. But that's, you know, just
most
me.
Of them can't even bring a loaf of bread. Hello. So, Kev, you ain't got to say it. I know you aren't here for your business.
So I digress.
Not really. It's 2 cents over lunch money. How about that? So, Kev, you don't want to say it because you're here repping your brand. I appreciate you. I know, you don't want to go into all of female whatever that we're going into. The real reason why a lot of women aren't winning and they're losing is because they're taking their money taking care of grown behind men, period. That's it. Like, let's call a thing a thing. This is the LSO
so
show.
I did.
This is VE. And so I'm going to tell the truth, and it's one of
them. That is a true statement, and they do it because the love. And see,
I don't know why they do it.
Some people, I know we, but it's all included in it. Some people accept love in many different forms. So
when I have you in financial restraints.
Listen. He don't have her in anything. She feels he's loving her, and this is her way of showing she's loving him back.
People need to learn the real definition of love.
Well, I mean, listen, to each his own. Love, caring, whatever. That's their love language. Is the financial part? Oh well, you know. He loved me because, so now you're taking care of grown men and you can't
but
write them off on your taxes.
But if it's the financial part, you like how Kevin's saying, you ask them about their finances or their history with finances around the second date, right? Loving somebody mm-hmm. would be you wanting to build with that person, not to drag them down or have them in debt. Because then once you're in debt, what you think going to happen? They're going to move on to the next person that can help them in their financial struggle because they were struggling with you. They were struggling before they met you. Now they got you struggling, so then they're going to go and struggle somewhere else so they find somebody else to help them out their financial situation. So, I mean, financial literacy was not taught in our communities at all. And what we have learned, we've learned from other people that have made it out or through Kev, like I learned a lot through Kev. I learned, and I was an accountant. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like you have to be wise. You have to do your research. And when you're dating women, you have to want people that's like-minded, that have the same goals, dreams, and aspirations as you. Because if not, mm-hmm. you're headed for disaster financially. You're going to be in a financial bind.
But I wasn't trying to turn this to a relational conversation. I was trying to keep this financial.
Know.
And why?
No, we
why
I, I'm sorry.
Why I did, but why I'm doing that is because whatever your viewpoint on love is, I'm just asking you to ask about the finances because armed with that knowledge, you can make decisions. You know about health. You can make a choice. You can choose to. Someone may come with a health issue, and I'm not saying a sexual health issue. I'm saying a health issue. Maybe they have a shoulder injury, right? That requires time off from work or what have you. Knowing that, you can make a decision about how you're going to partner with them to help them through that, or if you're going to partner. Same thing with their finances. Maybe they've got a 585 credit score because they've got a bunch of credit card debt. And you say, you know what, I'm willing to help you take on that debt. I make, maybe as a woman, you make more money than that person, or maybe you have a 800 credit score and you have a credit card that you can put them on as an authorized user. You guys can make those decisions, but you need to be armed with that knowledge. The problem is, you get into the relationship, again, it's easier to keep someone out of your house than it is to get them out of your house. So you don't have that knowledge. Now you fall in love, and now it comes up. I've got a bankruptcy on my credit report, and you're trying to use that credit report to go buy a house together. You guys have been together 3 years. You've decided I want to go buy a house. You've got the money. He's got the down payment. But he's got this bankruptcy on his credit report. You just find out about it when you go to the mortgage lender. I'm saying date number one, we can make some decisions about how to help us, or I can make a decision not to support you. If my deal is I'm not supporting a grown man, then that's a choice you can make. Anybody that runs from those conversations is not somebody that you want to have in your – they're going to either run today or they're going to run 2 weeks from now, but they're going to run. So
right.
It's better that you have them lace up and get them on out of there than to get down the road when and you guys who have bought homes know how emotional it is. You were driving around the neighborhood, you saw this property, you and him had this conversation, y'all thought, ooh, this joint. You go to the mortgage lender and find out I can't get this property because his credit is jammed up. You know how hurtful that is, and you got to go home and swallow that
part.
So I'm saying do your financial research. Do your health research, financial research. Find out how he's about those children and find out where he
sexual
wants to live
research
in
life. And kids research.
Sexual research. I'm doing sexual research first because not for nothing. I'm going in early on that. I didn't want to turn this into a relationship, but I'm going in early. But I'm doing that research day one. Because we going in here early. We're not all that 90 days. That's stop that. Cut it out. I'm saying
you grow.
Look,
wait a minute.
We're gonna get to this
thing
early.
One thing. Well, these two things. VE, thank you for being on.
Thank you.
I am going to begin to close out the show, so I'm going to put you back on hold. But everyone, I'm going to talk Kevin Maurice's business, and this is how cool we are. We were down at homecoming some years ago, and Kevin walks up to me and says to me, "Yo, Chuck, she owes me some." And I'm looking at him like, what? He was like, yeah, she owe me some. And I said, how does she owe you something that belonged to her? He said, because she was supposed to have given it to me back when we was in college. I'm done. I've never heard anything, but he was dead serious.
She knows she owed me. She knew she owed me.
Yes.
I came to collect.
And this was his first year back to homecoming since he left. And I'm just like, she owes him what's hers.
She owed me.
Because
she
didn't
she
give
she
him
me.
None X amount of years ago. Well, I'm just curious, you know, in your business. You know, I sexually get in your business because I do that. Did she pay her debt?
She paid her debt. She owed me. She knew she owed me. When she saw me, I said, I came to collect. So it's just like if she owed you $5,000 and you saw her for the first time since she borrowed that $5,000. I need that bread. You need your money, right? That's the first thing you want to say. Yo, you owe me $5,000. Can I get it? When I pulled up, I said, you know you owe me. You wanted to give it to me. I wanted to have it. You were supposed to have given it to me. Instead, you let some bird talk you out of giving it to me because you let her tell you who I was. You should have just found out. But you guess what? I didn't forget. You owe me. So give it up. And she had to give it up. Show me. She had to give it up.
Unbelievable. But as y'all know, we're beginning to close out the show, and you know, I was just closing out with that because that was actually funny. But Kev, do you have 2 seconds before I close out? How can somebody financially prepare for retirement?
Start as soon as you possibly can. Start and don't try to look at life like it's a mountain. You know that what they say. The best way to eat an elephant is one bite at a time. Just find something to invest in and start putting your money into that investment. If you're working a job, if they have a retirement plan that you can invest in, invest in as much as you can afford. If you're a self-employed individual, just start putting money into things that make money. And it doesn't have to be, again, start with a savings account that you, that generates more than, just remember that the number is 4.5%. So you need to get at least that from any one of your investments. Anything more, better. But put as much as you can afford without sacrificing the quality of life. And do it as soon as you possibly can. The sooner you do it, the better it will be.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there was a lot of jewels dropped this evening. There was a lot of people on this evening again as well. And I greatly appreciate everyone coming on and listening. Every time Kevin comes on the show, he gives us new information. And I guess it's new information for us because of the questions that was possibly asked. But as we begin to close out, you know, we say happy birthdays, congratulations, and all that good stuff. I want to say happy birthday to Iviana, Lisa J, and Cheryl. Happy birthday to each and every one of you. And also, we would like to extend condolences to everyone who lost a loved one. Unfortunately, I have a relative who's currently in the hospital. And when I spoke with her doctor today, he was like, I apologize for, you know, just now speaking with you, but we had two deaths today on the floor. And I was like, wow, my condolences, but I was thanking and praising God that one of those deaths wasn't my family member who was in the hospital. So I say all of that to say, one, condolences to the people who lost a loved one, and two, don't take things for granted. Because we tend to take things for granted and not realizing or don't want to realize that the next second is not guaranteed to us. It's really not. But the grace of God, that next second, we were able to make that second in the past. So, but we're going to have a WAP panel coming up. When the WAP is a women's all panel. So if you are interested in having a conversation, let's talk about it. And, you know, it can be random talk about whatever it is, you know, we choose to do our title on or our topic on, rather. Don't forget to tell us when your birthday, your congratulations, your whatever it is you're celebrating, whatever it is you got rid of. You know, don't forget to let LSO know so on your special day you can get a shout-out too during this time as we, you know, close out the show. I want to thank each and every one of you for your love, support, and encouragement all these years. This year, I'm coming up on, I think, 6 years of the LSO Treats radio show. Phenomenal to be on every Monday night and having the liberty to talk about whatever it is I choose the topic to be. So I thank each and every one of you for riding with me on this journey for this long. So I greatly appreciate it. Kevin Maurice, would you like to give any shout-outs?
I'd just like to give a huge shout to all of the women and Women's Month. I want you guys to stay strong, stay healthy. They financially lit. Anybody that I can help, you guys know I'm always willing. But I want you guys to know that I am in our communities and I'm talking to men differently and I'm telling men to step up. And I'm asking you women to not let us off the hook. So the shout out goes to all the strong women out there who are holding it down, but you don't have to do it by yourself.
All right. Now, Kev, I know you have a book out there. So can you tell them about your book and where they can find your book?
Absolutely.
I'm actually looking
the
at
book
your book
called,
right now.
Yep. The book is called Historically Black Guide to Wealth, Financial Liberty for African Americans. It's an orange cover. You can find it on Amazon. You can find it on BarnesandNoble.com. And you can contact me directly, and I can get a copy, a signed copy to you. If you get it off of Amazon or Barnes & Noble, I can't. But if you order through me directly, I can get you a signed copy. If you want to contact me or our office, You can call at 215-904-8690. I implore you, if you do call us and we don't answer, please leave us a voicemail and we'll call you back within 24 hours. Again, that phone number is 215-904-8690. You can find us on the web at www.premisian.com. That's spelled P-R-E-M-I-S-I-E-N, premisian.com. The name of the company is Premisian. You can find us on all platforms with that name. Again, it's Premisian. I look forward to working with you all.
Okay, I got two messages. One came in, he's the bomb, and another one, tell him to post his calendar on social media so when he's doing in-person events. I think that was told for you last week as well. So I think you better get on that, Kev, because if you don't, that's your ass on the line. I'm just saying.
I want you guys, whoever's looking for, I will post every time I do an in-person event, I will post a flyer on social media. Again, we're on all platforms at Premisian.com. Anybody that wants me to do an event, I don't charge to come out and do an event. I just ask that you allow me to either talk to people that could be potential clients or if they want to buy a book, allow me to sell the book. But I will come wherever you need and do a seminar, workshop, whatever you want. If you want that, just give me a call. Again, the number is 215-904-8690.
And as the person requesting him, a donation is always welcome because this man is using his time, he's using his energy, he's driving to wherever the event is, but that's just me. Remember, the LSO Treat Show will be coming to you every Monday night from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So tune in to Lawless Radio, and you too can also be a guest on the show. If you're looking to promote your brand, call or message LSO at 718-666-1336. And the Lawless Radio started on the premise of TL, the chairman, with his vision to support the local come-up. This evening, we wanted to get as much information out, so we did not play any music. But if you go to lawlessradio.music.com, you can submit your music there. It's always a pleasure spending my Monday evenings with each and every one of you. As the Lawless Radio show promises to be more transparent, awareness, taboo, educational, and conversations, we like getting into your business as you get into ours. Tonight, I'm going to leave you with an affirmation. Tonight's affirmation is your gift or gifts come from your passion. Your vision comes from that passion. You think it can be done as the thought it was just a blueprint. So make it happen and start today. Ladies and gentlemen, I will talk with you next week if God's will. I'm going to end my hashtag is LSO Journey. And hashtag love yourself organically. Kev, what is your hashtag?
My hashtag is Black Money Movement.
And hashtag Premisian. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, you have a good night. And I'll see you next week, same time. Yours is Sweetness LSO and Kevin, CEO of Premisian. Have a good night, everyone.
Love
ya. Love you more.